And he went and he taught with authority. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. It's always such a pleasure to be here and to come and see your faces. It's wonderful that you have so much of the service in Spanish today. I wish we could have part of the service and the readings in Spanish every day, and all of us would bring Spanish Bibles and learn the language that way. Many people have actually learned other languages by reading Bibles in other languages. It's always a pleasure to see the faculty and to know all the wonderful things you're doing, to see the fruits of your labor from time to time, not only with the excitement that brims with students who will soon go out, but on occasion literary productions like Schuckardt's 25-pound commentary on John's epistles. They are not missed, and they are deeply appreciated. And your tasks here are deeply appreciated. Dale's work at this institution and keeping it not only afloat, but helping it to thrive, is really a blessing to the whole church. So thank you. So I was just told by Terry Dittmer that about 15 years ago, 45,000 children were baptized by the Missouri Synod. Last year, that confirmation class numbered 17,000. Do the math. There is no maintenance ministry in the Missouri Synod anymore, folks. Jesus promised that in the end times, the hearts of many would grow cold. We're there. This is the day of St. Timothy, missionary bishop. There's a wonderful text in Acts chapter 15. It says, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, epistrepsantes de episkepsometha. Returning, let us visit the brothers in each city, every place where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they're doing. And the word for visit, episkepsometha. Do you recognize it? We get the noun form in this, episkopos. An episkopos, a bishop, which the Lutheran confessions rightly say on the basis of the scriptures is every local parish pastor. Our Lutheran problem is not that we don't have enough bishops, it's that we have too many. An episkopos is a visitor, a peripatetic. And he went and he taught with authority. Go, therefore. Jesus in Mark 1:38. Let's go to the surrounding villages. Luther said in 1528 in the visitation order that he wrote a preface for, he said, this is the principle of leadership in the true evangelical church. When we have leaders in the church, we call them district presidents and synod presidents. They function as bishops in the sense that they have oversight. Look at the constitution and bylaws of the synod. We have very classical Christian Orthodox Catholic structure. The district president is responsible for doctrinal oversight and oversight of the lives of all congregations and pastors and church workers within his jurisdiction. The synod president has the responsibility of oversight over the district president's doctrine and life. And consequent with that oversight, there is visitation. The constitution of the Missouri Synod calls for visitation. And that's based, all of it, on human arrangement. It's not commanded or forbidden to have such structure, says Luther, but it is based upon the very local office of shepherd in a congregation. And fundamental to that office is visitation, to go, to be where people are, to get out, to get around, to get into community, to visit. And we see this acted upon by St. Paul in the book of Acts and in the life of Timothy. He sends Timothy to appoint leaders. He sends Timothy off on an errand to Macedonia and other places. And we wonder, just what does it look like to visit? What is this? It is paraklesis. It's based on Jesus' own activity. The paraclete is given to convict the world of sin and of righteousness. It is like Jeremiah, to root up and to plant and feed and water. If you want to know what a true bishop's paraklesis looks like in visitation, just read Timothy, 1 Timothy, Paul's letter. For this reason, I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Have courage, Timothy. Share in suffering for the gospel. You're going to suffer in this office, Timothy. Follow the pattern of sound words, Timothy. Don't depart from the word of God, Timothy. Be strengthened, my child, by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men. The word goes on, Timothy. Entrust it to others. Remember Jesus risen from the dead, Timothy, when you're in the worst possible circumstances. Remind them of these things, Timothy, and charge them before God not to quarrel about words. Be a worker who has no reason to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Take your doctrine seriously, Timothy. Flee youthful passions, Timothy. Understand, in the last times, Timothy, things are going to get difficult and ugly. In fact, all those who want to lead a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, Timothy. But as for you, continue in what you've learned and firmly believe, knowing from whom you've learned it and how from a child you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation. Don't neglect the reading of the scriptures, Timothy. I charge you in the presence of God and Jesus Christ, who is judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, and these words will be spoken over many of you within just a few weeks. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. That's what an episcopus does, right there. It's what Jesus did. We see many places in the Gospels. We heard of one of them today. They went to Simon's house. Jesus went to these various homes, started churches, little groups of believers. He leaves, he moves on, the missionary word moves on. He comes back in time around to the same place to encourage, to exhort, to console. That's the pattern. And it says, preach the word. My friends, you are very fortunate because you have something to preach that is not thought up in your own lame brain. And I don't mind hearing stories in sermons once in a while, but you cannot sustain the Church of Christ on incessant, unending story after story and never get to the full meat of the Word of God. You cannot sustain the Word of God without exegesis. You cannot sustain the Word of God without the text. I do like a story on occasion. I'm not going to tell you one now. Luther says the Word of God is his work. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Peter tells us that we are born again. Regeneration happens not of corruptible things, but by the incorruptible seed, the Word of God. It creates faith. It sustains faith. It creates regeneration. And Hebrews 4 tells us the Word of God is zone, living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing unto the marrow, the division of soul and spirit, and no creature is hidden from its sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we have to give account. I love the Bible. I don't read it as much as I should. I do love it. You know why? There are great stories there. Think of it. Adam's a fool, isn't he? Noah's a drunk. Moses has a temper problem. He's a poor public speaker. Aaron decides he likes goldsmithing. Abraham's a coward and a liar. Isaac is more of the same. Jacob's a conniver. Joseph is vain. The Israelites wandering in the wilderness are grumblers. Mephibosheth's a cripple. David's family is an absolute, unmitigated disaster. David's son commits incest with Tamar, and Absalom murders him. Absalom's a traitor. Solomon's a glutton for women. Jonah's a depressed oddball. Mary and Joseph are nobody from nowhere. John the Baptizer is just plain scary when you get down to it. Somebody, I read somewhere, if in truth John the Baptizer probably looks like a Hindu shaman. Well, I've seen a Hindu shaman, and I wanted to run the other direction as quickly as possible. The disciples are dolts. James and John have an overbearing mother. Peter's an impetuous fool, a coward. And even says no cross. Mark's a wimp. Thomas wouldn't believe. Paul's a murderer and a cranky old man. Barnabas and Paul can't work out their mission plans together. And James can't keep control of his folks going off from Jerusalem screwing up the gospel. And Timothy's too young. And he's eaten up over the fact that there's a lot of challenges in the church. That's why Paul tells him, take a little wine for your sore stomach. But you know what's so wonderful about this? You fit right in. And so do I. You fit right in. And if you don't think you fit in, you better not come to the sacrament. It's not for you. It's only for people like this. It's for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.